stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static, and we're joined by our colleague, Kara Rollins, and we have a case that we haven't talked about in a while because Kara argued it back in October, and it was Spartan v. SEC, and I'll just give you a recap. Basically, the SEC brought charges against our clients saying that they, you know, they were liable for certain breaches of the securities laws, and the jury came back and found four of our clients. One was completely exonerated, and the others had 13 counts eliminated against them. But the final count, we did go up and appeal it, and it's been on appeal for some time. But there's an issue that is sort of roiling the SEC bar, and we have some news on that because it's both in the Spartan case and the Second Circuit, which is the big kahuna of SEC courts, has come out with some. So what's happening, Kara?
Yeah, so since the 1970s, the SEC has sought what's been called disgorgement. It depends on who you ask about what disgorgement is. Justice Thomas will tell you it doesn't exist. But generally speaking, it's understood to be a traditional equitable remedy. So it's going to follow the equitable considerations. It's not a penalty. It's meant to sort of set victims of fraudulent or tortious acts back where they were before that happened. It's meant to disgorge
ill-gotten
gains, right? And so it's really like a way of just saying, like, you don't get to keep the money if you did a bad act, and it should go back to victims. There's been a series of Supreme Court cases in the past couple of years. Kokesh and Liu are the two big SEC cases. The third one was AMG. That was against FTC's use of disgorgement. Right. And over time, what's happened is—
And I think— either a cause of action or here, we put in a amicus brief in all those cases.
Yes, yeah. And so over time, what's happened is, you know, the Supreme Court's kind of laid out markers of, like, we'll call them, like, stakes, if you want to think about, like, laying out a pen and just saying, like, disgorgement operates, like, in this pen. And here's the outer limits of it. Certainly, like I said, if it operates like a penalty, it's out. It's not equitable anymore. And so the courts are now struggling post-Liu in the middle of the night, like literally in the middle of the night. Nobody can tell me how this got into a congressional bill. They amended the remedies portion of the securities laws to allow disgorgement. Previously, it was other equitable relief, and disgorgement was sort of found there. And so all of a sudden, all of these cases that thought that maybe it was time barred or it didn't apply, there's this new upheaval in disgorgement. What does this disgorgement mean? Is it discernibly different than what the courts were doing before? There's a developing circuit split on this exact question.
And what is the, and I'll just bring it up. So Liu was a really bad actor. I think it was billions of dollars, this guy.
Yeah, yeah. It was some sort of weird, like, get your visa for construction. It was a very weird setup.
It was one of these things whereby you could get a work permit, and they were selling the work permits, and they were not doing the work. They were false construction projects that never got done, but everyone got into the country, and they sold these to people. And then when it turned out, the people got in trouble, you know, because they weren't. So, but it was like a huge number, and it didn't work out for Liu. I think on remand,
I think the Ninth Circuit did end up putting money against them again.
Exactly. So they did say, here's the standard. So what exactly is the circuit split?
So the circuit split is between right now the Fifth Circuit and the Second Circuit. Fifth Circuit's taken, I've read the Hallam case a million times. I still can't necessarily make heads or tails of it. I think it's internally inconsistent. But they sort of said, well, when Congress acted and it made disgorgement statutory, it operates differently than it did in equity. But it also pulls forward some stuff. And it feels really picky, choosy, what I like, what I don't like, appears to be the Fifth Circuit approach. I will say that, like, the Fifth Circuit approach, the SEC hates that approach, too, because it takes away some tools that they like. The Second Circuit, really, this is a nail-in-the-coffin approach, because what the SEC usually comes in, and we talk about sort of bullying and complaints and getting people to settle, is they come in with some, like, insane disgorgement number. We're going to disgorge $2 million from you. And people settle for much less. And so they love using this tool. But the one thing that Lew did, and what the Second Circuit has now made very clear, is that this idea of disgorgement needs to be for the compensation of victims. And what Goval, the case that we're talking about now, really takes a next step on that and says, and victims mean they have suffered pecuniary harm, right? And so one of the things that happened in the statutory disgorgement cases was, like, the question was, well, what is for the benefit of investors within the Securities and Exchange Acts mean for disgorgement? And everybody sort of settled out as, like, yeah, like, you have to at least try to find these people who were harmed, or there needs to be harmed investors before you can seek disgorgement. And the SEC does not like that answer. They like to get big numbers and tell Congress they're doing a good job and then return the money to the Treasury. It's like, well, that's not equitable.
Right. And the other thing about it is that, what do you do with fraud on the market claims? The SEC will do a fraud on the market, and I'll just explain that for those out there. They don't actually have, this is the sort of thing where the entire market has been defrauded by some false thing you did. But nobody can quantify what any person actually got hurt by a fraud on the market.
This happens in insider trading cases all the time because
this was Martha Stewart.
Yeah, this was really hard to calculate an insider trading case, fraud on the market cases, because the effect is so diffuse and it's hard to actually figure out the pinpoint time. And so doing that calculation is really difficult. So for a long time, they would just sort of say, well, you know, we're going to give it back to Treasury and it's going to go towards investor education. And isn't that enough under the statute? And the Supreme Court kind of said no. And what the Second Circuit has said is taking it one step forward of, like, victims has a defined meaning. We know what it means. It means they've suffered pecuniary harm as a result of somebody else's bad acts. You have to prove that. So that case was decided back in late October. That's the Goval case in the Second Circuit. After we had argued Spartan, and the Second Circuit takes the same approach we do, and we have argued. And then they were denied en banc because the SEC sought en banc.
And because it's the Second Circuit.
It's because the Second Circuit, they don't do en bancs. That's a well-known thing that even Justice Ginsburg, I believe, had critiqued them on many years ago. And so they decided not to file cert, which I think is a really interesting thing because this is a massive blow to the SEC and how they approach enforcement cases in, like you said, what is probably the biggest set of districts and circuit for them for securities.
Yeah, I don't know if you people know this, but Wall Street is in the Second Circuit.
And then
those people, you know, they deal in securities quite a bit down there,
I hear. Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody who's ever watched Billions, right, like that's this entire area. So, I was sort of surprised by it. I was watching the Supreme Court docket. I felt that, you know, this was damaging enough to the SEC that they would have had to file cert. I don't know why. I have my, we all sort of, I suspect that maybe there was a determination of, like, this could get worse for you guys. Like, right now it's only in the Second Circuit, and they can do what they want in other circuits. But I do think that because it's the Second Circuit who had this analysis, it's going to be highly persuasive. And I think over time, as more of these disgorgement cases work their way up to the other appellate courts, that you're going to see other appellate courts adopt this. We certainly hope for the sake of our clients, the 11th Circuit adopts this approach. It's what we argued before the Second Circuit even made these decisions. It's what we think is the logical outcome of the equity analysis. This is a major handicap. And one thing I always want to point out with disgorgers, we say, well, you know, bad actors and they should be punished. The way the Exchange Act writes the civil penalty calculation is, like, it's either a fixed number, like, say $0 to $100,000 per violation or equal to the disgorgement amount. So if you had a situation where somebody did billions of dollars of damage, just throwing it out there, you could get a civil penalty amount equal to the disgorgement amount without having to worry about this for the benefit of investors thing, and you would get the same deterrent effect. But the real sort of crux of the problem here is SEC, I mean, we saw this in Spartan Below. They're not supposed to use it as a penalty. It's not supposed to mean to deter other bad actors. And they just can't, like, even in open court, they can't get their minds around that. And in their briefing below in Spartan, it was, like, very clear they were using disgorgement to punish our clients.
Right. And I think one of the things that's interesting here, and I'll do a bit of predicting, is that the Fifth Circuit's Hallam test, and you'd think the Fifth Circuit would be more straight lines rather than balancing type tests and mixing it up. I think because this test is easier for a court to apply than mm-hmm. Hallam, and the SEC doesn't like any of it. No one has taken the SEC's view.
Yeah, the SEC's view was, because it goes into all their briefing, is the amendments to the act were meant to give us more flexibility, a.k.a. we can ask for this and you have to give it to us. And it's like, that's not how equity works.
And so in any event, so I do think that the Second Circuit's opinion, just as a matter of judicial construction, is more elegant.
And I would agree with that.
I think that has persuasive force of its own when you're worried about having a lot of these coming. So we have about half a minute left. Do you have any further thoughts?
No. I mean, I think certainly we're eagerly awaiting the 11th Circuit's decision in our client's case. We hope they follow the Second Circuit's approach. Certainly, if they follow the Fifth Circuit approach, that'll be shocking because nobody asked for that. But, you know, courts will do what courts do sometimes. So I'll be happy to, you know, hopefully report good news in, you know, a few months.
Thanks for joining us.